Network in the world. We almost started last week, but, you know, well, you know, most of my career in radio has been as a program director and on air at music radio stations around the country, from Jazzy 100 in Washington, D.C. to CD 101 in New York, KIFM San Diego, Love 94 Miami, The Sound in Seattle, Star 106 San Antonio, Z92 Omaha. Hard to believe I started up that rock station like 35 years ago now, huh? And I was at KXFM in Santa Maria. But there was always a competent audio engineer available wherever I was. But now, in the day of one-person grassroots nonprofit organization productions of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, I also have to be the engineer, and I do want to thank everyone who chipped in to help me buy the confusing new equipment that I needed to get for syndication. Okay, we're up and running now. We have it together now. You know, in this day of the NSA, my radio show was the only communication last week that couldn't be heard anywhere. You know, I would have been better off doing my show on my cell phone last week. At least I would have been guaranteed an audience, you know. So, well, for many people, today's program will be your introduction to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We've been broadcasting over 12 years now, as heard on Air America, CBS, and Clear Channel radio stations around the country. So to explain the concept of the show, well, it's kind of like Seinfeld. You know how Seinfeld was a show about nothing? So Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden is about everything. Okay, so and now my friends at GCN are really excited about carrying this show. They said they're thrilled to finally have a food show on the network. You know that my program is the first food show on GCN. Holy cow! I had no idea that this was a food show. Really, I hadn't really considered that. Well, I guess I do tell you, you know, what food is, and, you know, food grows from the earth. It is fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds, legumes, you know, food is vegan, you know, so, you know, you got that, right? Comida es frutas, verduras, nueces, granos, semillas, legumbres. Food is not pathogen-laden, feces-covered, hormone- and antibiotic-full, acid-bathed, decomposing corpse. I believe you call it meat. Nor is food the nipple drippings from bovine mammaries or the ovarian secretions of birds, no matter how appetizing all that seems to be to you. Oh, and the one reaction you might have to listening to this radio program, I got this feedback from a lot of Air America listeners, they say, who are you to tell us what to eat, huh? It's our choice. And yes, I have not yet been installed as king by any Supreme Court jesters. You know, yet or however, dictator kings are installed these days in the NSA, I mean, NRA, I mean, USA. So, no, I can't ban the sale, and production of so-called meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, as should be done yet. So you say you should have a choice of what it is you eat. Well, it is not really an it or a what. You are eating someone, not something. Someone who never had a choice. Yeah, you're choosing to eat someone who had a face, a mother, emotions, feelings, and bowel movements, the products of which frequently wind up on your so-called meat. Someone who never had a choice to be born into captivity, imprisonment, torture, mutilation, skinning, dismemberment, stabbing, beheading. I mean, who would choose that, right? Well, you choose that, you know, if you eat so-called meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. And I'm not blaming you. You know, it's not your fault. Indoctrination into speciesism starts at a very young age here. You know, we all had to go through it. And you know, but why should you have that choice if it is the root of the world's most serious problems, like world hunger, poverty, disease, climate change? That's right. Animal agriculture is to blame for 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions caused by humans, according to a World Watch Institute analysis by climate experts Robert Goodland and Jeff Anhang. And I do intend to have Robert on the show in the near future. Just Google livestock and climate change. So, by the way, you notice all of these revelations about the NSA are being released when? Yes, at the time that the network launches this radio program. You think it's a coincidence or GovEnron meant diversion? Are we being distracted from the real enemy so that the USA can spend billions and billions of dollars on profiteering, you know, spies, people spying on U.S. citizens to see if anyone has ever spoken to a kid in Yemen who ever played on monkey bars? I think that's one of the criteria that sets off the, Deutschland Department of Homeland Security alarm bells here. Any kid on monkey bars in the Middle East, and we will spend billions and billions to drone him out. Billions! But who kills more Americans every year than have been killed in all wars combined? Yes, meat and dairy, but we're distracted from that by NSA releases. Where are the billions and billions to combat America's greatest domestic killers? Why isn't Ronald McDonald's phone being tapped, huh? We need to rise up and throw up the enemy within. The enemy within our stomachs. Forget the Trojan horse. Look at the bun. The enemy is not Bin Laden. It's the bun laden with the pathogen and poop-covered decomposing body parts from yet another one of the billions of innocent victims in the ongoing undeclared war on animals, from the true axes of evil, McDevils, Murder King, Kills Jr., Wen Dies, Jack the Ripper in a Box. They will get you and your family before Al-Qaeda ever will. Some people may think I'm unpatriotic, as unpatriotic as still supporting the Constitution, which isn't very patriotic these days, right? If I oppose the hamburger, the hot dog, the barbecue, the glass of cow's milk, ooh, that's so un-American, huh? Now, you be a good American. Eat your meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, and you get your heart disease and cancer like you're supposed to. You get surgery and pharmaceuticals like you're supposed to. But really, who cares more about Americans than Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden? Trillions of dollars in health care costs. We blame Wells Fargo and Bank of America and, J.P. Morgan Chase, for all the foreclosures. But half the time, foreclosures are caused by catastrophic health care costs. And we've had T. Colin Campbell on the show from the book, The China Study. And he says at least 90% of fatal degenerative disease is caused by the consumption of animal protein. So look at those trillions and trillions of dollars, at least 90%, huh? All that money wasted on health care. I mean, how many wars could we finance? How many drones could we buy if we just save the trillions in health care costs? Well, the government could buy a personal drone for every U.S. citizen, and then that would solve our security problems, right? Now the U.S. government likes to treat everyone and everything as top secret, especially informing the public about the benefits of going vegan. So I'm blowing the whistle today, on the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction. This GovEnron meant, only wants to really clamp down on whistleblowers. In fact, it doesn't even want people called whistleblower anymore, right? That sounds like somebody doing something brave, Snowden, Bradley Manning. Whistleblower makes it seem like you're calling attention to a wrongdoing. So the government now calls them leakers, Like now you're a tattletale. Nobody likes a tattletale, you leaker. Either you sound like you're a tattletale or you have no control of your bladder. I can't tell. One or the other. And the government is complaining against leakers dumping. Well, please, U.S. government, don't mention dumping to a vegan, with all the fiber in our diet, So, anyway. I also see why they had to break up the Occupy movement. It had to be disbanded because that was the only communication that wasn't bugged. People actually getting together and talking. So it's like, get back to your Facebook, your Skype, your Gmail. So we can figure out what you're saying, huh? Oh, well, anyway. And the government tries to diminish the image of news organizations like AP and The Guardian. The government says those organizations are just, they're just taking a leak. Okay, well, on today's program, ooh, what a leak. We can defeat America's number one killer, heart disease, Obama should or could take all of his, Nobel Prize winning drones and, direct them toward slaughterhouses or all of the axes of evil slash food restaurants. We can do it that way. Or we can take it into our own hands. Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn will be on today's program, the renowned heart specialist who is the author of Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. He has saved many lives, including Bill Clinton. He says, heart disease is just another foodborne illness. We don't have to have it. So we blow the whistle on heart disease and all the money that goes toward that today. We have a real whistleblower coming up today, Lester Friedlander. He was with the USDA, and we will blow many whistles there in that regard. Marilyn Wilson talks about Safeguard America Foods Export Act coming up on today's program. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. We are now on the GCN radio network. Thanks for listening. Caldwell Esselstyn coming up next. You've seen veganradio.com. Broadcasting for 12 years, as heard on Air America, however, today is our first broadcast on the Genesis Communications Network, GCN, one of the fastest growing radio talk networks in the world. It is the network that syndicates Alex Jones, Mary Lou Henner, and now I'm on the network to make them look like the normal ones now, right? So here we are. We have no hidden agenda. We want you to go vegan. There are hundreds of archives on the website, goveganradio.com. And we're listener-supported. You can make a tax-deductible donation to help us pay for radio airtime and production costs. And if you know anybody in your family, you have friends, if you know anybody with heart disease, And that's everybody. If you have heart disease, it is so important that you listen, for this next hour. Right now, text your friends, call your family, tell them they have to listen to this broadcast, because we're going to talk about America's number one killer, and it is preventable. On today's program, we are honored to have Caldwell Esselstyn, MD, who is the author of Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease, the revolutionary, scientifically proven, nutrition-based cure. It's now available as a DVD also. Dr. Esselstyn is the former internationally renowned surgeon, researcher, and clinician at the Cleveland Clinic. At the Cleveland Clinic, he headed a breast cancer task force. He's been featured in the documentary Forks Over Knives. Dr. Esselstyn has this wild idea that we can end the heart disease epidemic. And what's his proof? I mean, he apparently has saved many lives, including Bill Clinton. His website is heartattackproof.com. And welcome once again to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Dr. Esselstyn, how are you?
Good evening.
Great to have you here again. And it's our pleasure, and this information is so important. And people don't believe it that heart disease is preventable. How did you come to this conclusion? I mean, I see MD after your name, and you were a surgeon, so you probably went through the regular rituals of a medical career, and you've come to a different conclusion from most.
Yeah. Well, the background is kind of interesting, because about 15 years into my career, when I was chairman of our breast cancer task force, I just got very disillusioned, for no matter how many women I was doing breast surgery, I was doing absolutely nothing for the next unsuspecting victim. And this led me to a bit of global research, and it was quite striking to find that breast cancer in Kenya, for instance, was 30 to 40 times less frequent than in the United States. When you looked for breast cancer in rural Japan in the 1950s, it was very infrequently identified. And yet, as soon as the Japanese women would migrate to the United States, by the second and third generation, they now still pure Japanese American. They now had the same rate of breast cancer as their Caucasian counterpart. So that was a very vivid eye-opener. But along about this time, I had a concern that my bones might long be dust before I could really get the answers to cancer and nutrition, although in hindsight, I'm not sure that that was correct. Nevertheless, as part of this global interview, it was quite striking to see that there were any number of cultures where cardiovascular disease was virtually non-existent. And these were in cultures that were strictly plant-based in their nutrition. And so, really, it seemed that we could get a lot more bang for the buck if I could focus on the leading killer of women and men in Western civilization, which was coronary artery heart disease. Because if people would then eat to save their heart, then they would also begin to start saving themselves from the common Western cancers. So that, to answer your question, that was the background. But the truth of the matter is that we now know coronary artery disease is nothing more than an absolute toothless paper tiger that need never, ever exist. And if it does exist, it need never, ever progress. This is a completely benign foodborne illness.
Dr. Esselstyn, we have to take a break. Dr. Esselstyn will be with us for the remainder of the hour. If you'd like to call in, the phone number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. We will continue with Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. You can support the program with a donation at GoVeganRadio.com. Click donate. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products. Email me. It's Bob at GoVeganRadio.com. We appreciate the sponsorship of Vegetarian House Restaurant in San Jose, a tradition for over 15 years, 100% vegan and organic, no GMOs, gluten-free, many raw options. It's partially solar-powered. It's delicious. Visit Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, vegetarianhouse.us. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And today we are talking to Caldwell Esselstyn, MD, the author of Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease, now available as a DVD. The website is heartattackproof.com. Dr. Esselstyn, so you were saying that through your observations of breast cancer, you then wanted to translate your knowledge to dietary aspects that would address heart disease. How did that start? Like, so you were considering breast cancer and how when people came here from Japan, for example, they didn't have breast cancer, but when they came here and adopted the standard American diet, they did. Where did your work begin with heart disease, and where did it go, and what research and results have you demonstrated?
Well, what we found was that, as further background for your audience, if we looked at the autopsies of our GIs in Korea from the early 1950s, we found that literally 80% of these young soldiers, average age 20, had gross evidence of coronary artery disease you could see without a microscope. Not enough for their cardiac events yet, but there the disease was. So that study was repeated 45 years later in 1999, this time looking at young women and men between the ages of 17 and 34 who have died of accidents, homicides, and suicides, and the disease now is ubiquitous. It's not 80%. It was 100%. So you graduate from high school in this country, and you not only get a diploma, but you've already got the foundation for heart disease. And you might really wonder, well, how in the world does this happen? Well, there was one other great natural experiment where we in the medical community just absolutely totally blew it and got it wrong. And that was in World War II when the Axis powers of Germany would overrun the Low Countries of Holland, Belgium, and they occupied Denmark and Norway. The Germans characteristically took away their livestock, their cattle, their sheep, their goats, their pigs, their chickens, their turkeys, took those away for their troops. So suddenly these Western European nations during the war years were eating a plant-based diet. And in 1951, Drs. Strom and Janssen, reporting in England's leading medical journal, The Lancet, reported how there was this absolutely dramatic plummeting of deaths from heart attack and stroke in Norway during the time that they were eating plant-based, only to be immediately, within 2 years, restored to those pre-war levels as soon as they got back their meat and dairy. So with that kind of background, it was very exciting to think about what we could do with a group of patients who were seriously ill with heart disease, because there has been a wonderful test developed called the brachial artery tourniquet test, which has been able to identify and show us what are the foods that every time they pass our lips, they absolutely decimate what is the absolute life jacket and guardian of our blood vessels, which happens to be that very delicate one-layer thick cell called the endothelium. That's the carpet, one layer thick. The endothelial cells that line our blood vessels, and the endothelial cells make an absolutely marvelous molecule, nitric oxide, that is responsible when it is at adequate and high levels. It is responsible for maintaining the health of our blood vessels and keeps them from getting blocked and keeps us from getting heart attacks. Well, what are the foods that every time we ingest them, they injure these endothelial cells? Yes, they're oil, olive oil, corn oil, soybean oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, coconut oil, palm oil. All these oils, whether it's oil in a cracker, oil in bread, oil in a salad dressing, injures your endothelial cells, as does anything with the mother or face, meat, fish, chicken, and fowl. And also, dairy, milk, cream, butter, cheese, ice cream, and yogurt, and fructose. So what we decided to do with a small group of patients back in 1985 who had serious heart disease and had failed their first or second bypass and had failed their first or second angioplasty or were too sick for these or they refused. And these folks were obviously very, very ill. And we were able to persuade them to give up these foods, and lo and behold, we found that not only were we able to halt any further progression of their disease, but we often found striking examples of disease reversal.
Amazing. Amazing. That would be the case. I know that the owner of KCAA in Southern California, Fred Lundgren, was 327 pounds. He's in Texas, and he was saying all the heart surgeons were slamming the door in his face, and there was nothing they could do. They gave him 3 months to live. I said, well, Fred, you're that desperate. Maybe you'll listen to me and go vegan. Why don't you go to Dr. Esselstyn's website and see what you get over there? And, you know, Fred now is down to 250 pounds, and he's exercising 45 minutes a day and has stopped taking blood pressure medication. So you yourself were dealing with, you know, people who were basically on their deathbed, right?
Well, it was very exciting because there were five of this original. We had a small group when we started because I was still actively involved in surgery, and I was limited by the amount of time. But we started with a small group of 24 patients, and I really was concerned that the rock upon which this study was most likely to falter would be lack of patient adherence, a lack of patient compliance. And so I decided I would use the same mantra for these patients that I had learned years ago from a wonderful West Coast surgeon, Bert Dunphy. And that was, Bert used to say that patients with cancer are not afraid to suffer, and patients with cancer are not afraid to die. But patients with cancer are afraid of being abandoned by their family or by their physician. So I, this first group, I saw every, I saw them every 2 weeks in the office, went over every morsel they ate, and we checked their cholesterol, their blood pressure, and their weight. And after 5 years, I got very bold, and I lengthened it out to once a month. And by the end of a decade, they were now on autopilot, so I lengthened it out to quarterly. But what was so exciting was that all of those 18 of the 24 who were fully compliant were able to halt their disease. And we often, as I show in my book, Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease, we were able to show striking examples of disease reversal. Now, what has happened recently is that, naturally, I've taken a bit of criticism on this, because many who are in the specialty of cardiovascular disease will claim that patients won't do this. And so when I retired from surgery, we kept this going, and I'm happy and proud to say that we have just now submitted to a peer-reviewed medical journal a review of over 200 patients, all of whom had serious heart disease. And I'm a little bit embargoed, and that is forbidden to discuss the results until it comes out in the journal. But let's just say that we're absolutely elated.
Oh, come on. Nobody's listening. Tell us. Nobody's listening.
No, sorry, I can't do that.
It will be coming out
either the end of this year or early next year, and it'll be no longer hidden.
Well, then you will have to be.
I think the key thing here is that your audience has to know that. Obviously, they should know that I'm a bit of a taskmaster. Not as mean as I look, but these people were all people who have had at least 5 hours of counseling by me at one single effort. Now, why in the world did we change so much from what we were doing earlier? Well, the earlier group were all local patients in Cleveland, and I could see them on a regular basis. What happened is after the book came out and after we had the movie, we were getting calls from people from the state of Oregon, Washington, California, Texas, and Florida, and all over the country, and some from overseas, and we knew that they couldn't afford to come and stay days at a time in Cleveland. So about 11 years ago, we put together and synthesized a very intensive single-day, five-hour counseling seminar. And other physicians will ask, why in the world is it that you're getting close to 90% adherence with these patients? And my reply to the physicians is, listen, we get this response because we show the patient respect. And the only way that I know to really have a patient adhere to doing what you're doing is to give them this respect. And we give them 5 hours. This is the most intensive interchange they've ever had with a caregiver. But it conveys to them the importance, the seriousness, and the absolute capacity that this type of education has to allow them to not only understand exactly what it is that they did to cause the disease in the first place, but also precisely what it is that they can do as the locus of control to be able to halt and reverse this disease.
Mm. And what did cause it in the first place? I mean, what
caused it in the first place, as we mentioned earlier, is that starting perhaps even when we're youngsters and preschoolers and grammar school, middle school, and so forth, people are eating dairy, meat, and oil. And every time, and sugar, that is fructose, and every time those foods pass your lips, you decimate, you injure, you compromise the ability of your endothelial cells to make this wonderful magic compound of nitric oxide. Now, the two classic examples that we've had of personalities in recent years were Timothy Russert.
Dr. Esselstyn, I have to interrupt. I think we're taking a break a little earlier than I thought, but I guess it's time for a break. So we'll continue with Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden.
If you want to approach...
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. We're talking to Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, author of Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease, now available as a DVD, the website heartattackproof.com. Dr. Esselstyn, we have about 5 minutes left, so I wanted you to wrap up, like, what really is the cause of heart disease, and then tell us what people would eat under your program, and how did Bill Clinton get involved with you?
Well, we'll never do that in 5 minutes.
Well, then, let's see what happens. Maybe we'll be able to take a few.
Somebody was kind enough to give him a copy of my book, and he read it and applied it, and gave us a nice supporting comment when he was on television.
I noticed that, and because he was able to pronounce your name correctly, I knew that he consulted you.
Right. Yeah, that's the first test.
That's the key.
Well, the cause of heart disease, you've already heard. When every time you eat those certain foods, oils, dairy, meat, fish, and fowl, and fructose, you injure that delicate endothelial cell. It no longer can make sufficient nitric oxide. As your level of nitric oxide decreases, the great functions of nitric oxide, which to dilate the vessel, to keep it from being sticky, to protect you from high blood pressure, and to protect you from ever making blockages or plaque, is then lost as your levels diminish. And so what we found is that this is not cancer. The endothelial cell can regain the capacity to make nitric oxide when you stop injuring it. And that's why we ask these patients never to have a single drop or morsel of any of those foods that is going to further injure it. And that allows them to halt their disease and come back. But anybody who's trying this should know that, that, as I said, I'm a taskmaster. Why would somebody decide that once a week they can continue to have themselves have those foods, which are, although I know they are delicious, are so harmful? Somebody says, well, just once a week? Okay. That's 52 times a year that you are further injuring and imperiling the health of your endothelial cell. Now, the classic TV personalities that we've seen recently with heart attacks were Tim Russert, the beloved journalist who was head of and ran Meet the Press, and the same happened to recently Mr. James Gandolfini, the star in the Sopranos. And what happened in those gentlemen, though I've not heard the final word on Mr.
Gandolfini,
it appears that unless he's had some very unusual cardiac arrhythmia, he did the same thing. What happens is the small plaques, which are blocking you by no more than 10, 20, or 30, 40%, are the ones that can be very dangerous because they're the ones that can rupture. By that I mean the cap over the plaque, which is blocking, has a lot of inflammation, and the inflammation thins out the plaque until it gets so thin that it ruptures. Plaque content spills out into the flowing blood in the coronary artery and precipitates a clot. And the clot suddenly now blocks the entire artery, and all the downstream heart muscle loses its nutrition, dies, and that's a heart attack. And so it's so exciting to think that if we could somehow just get this information to the public, we could truly have a seismic revolution in health, because it isn't only heart disease. It is diabetes. It is hypertension. It is obesity. It is strokes. It is erectile dysfunction. It is dementia. And it is asthma and a host of other diseases that I don't have a chance to discuss with you this evening, that all will be mended by this type of plant-based nutrition. Now, you have to remember that when I was a kid, I grew up on an Aberdeen Angus and dairy farm, and it was my research that clearly showed that those industries were actually injuring people. And one further point, we want you to eat food as grown. The foods you eat are whole grains for your cereal, bread, and pasta. Every one of the 101 different types of legumes or beans. Especially eat those wonderful green leafy vegetables, also red and yellow, and fruit. We do not use any supplements except for B12. The supplement industry right now is really back on its heels because it's been shown time and again now that vitamins, instead of protecting us, can injure us. All those supplements must go through careful scientific scrutinization before they are ever offered to the public.
Okay. Well, Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, I want to thank you for being with us today on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. A pleasure to have you here. Caldwell Esselstyn, MD, the author of Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease, the revolutionary scientifically proven nutrition-based cure, now available as a DVD. And you can go to the website, heartattackproof.com. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, it was my pleasure. All the best with your program.
Thank you so much. And we have past interviews with Dr. Elsner.
Greetings. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Ni hao. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Buongiorno. Sawadee kerub. Guten tag. Jiao wee vee va kat bang. Half a day. Jai janendra. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now, go vegan. Peace how? Go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical kill, vivisection, prison, kilitary, industrial, core, poor nation. In the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria. Food born in the USNRA, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Happy Mother's Day. If you're a mom who's listening, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to your mother, whoever you think she may be, your human mom, your bovine mom, Mother Earth. Happy Mother's Day. I understand it can be a bit confusing, you know, who your mom is. Sometimes it seems that people don't know who their father is, right? But yeah, more often than that, it seems to me that people do not know who their mother is. I mean, and the very superior human race seems somewhat alone in this confusion. I mean, if you look at mammal after mammal, the babies seem to drink the milk from the one who gave birth to them. Now, I know we humans have a lot to think about. You know, right now I'm thinking I didn't want to end that last sentence with a preposition. So I know we humans have a lot about which to think, like, you know, how do we make better bombs or better bullets or better oil pipelines or better nuclear power plants? So really, who has time to think about, you know, who one's mother is? I mean, you know, human mothers participate in the confusion themselves, it seems. My mother, she was there when I was born. You know, she knew, I think, that she was my mother, and I think, you know, the, I don't know, it's, I think she seems a little confusing though, huh? It seems like she may have said to me, Bobby, you were adopted. We found you in a meadow, crawling around under a cow. We were afraid you would starve. You couldn't reach her nipples. But don't worry, we've arranged to get the baby food you need. In this container here, in this bottle. Now, don't tell anybody at school that you were adopted, okay? But I think it was pretty cool that, well, the school seemed to know, you know, that, I mean, apparently my mom made a secret arrangement with the school to get me a container of milk from my real mom every day. So sweet, right? It would also come with cookies. And I thought, wow, cows just bake the best cookies. I was so grateful that my step-human mom rescued me that day when I was crawling under my mother, the cow. I was grateful that I wasn't found crawling under a squirrel or a dog, even though I'm pretty sure that my school, PS-152 in Manhattan, could have come up with a container of their milk every day, too, had I needed it. I'm just not sure that they can, you know, not sure that squirrels and dogs can bake as well as my mother, the cow, was able to do. I'm also grateful that I'm grateful that I didn't look like any of my baby brothers, you know, the ones with four legs, the hooves, the long tail. I don't know, there's something about them. I mean, humans seem confused about knowing if cows are their mothers. They seem equally confused thinking that food is my brother's. And in fact, on Mother's Day, mothers seem to like to eat my baby brothers. Mothers eating babies on Mother's Day, that seems very hypocritical, huh? There must be some mistake. I mean, I know that my baby brothers often went to our Uncle Wolfgang's for a vacation and never returned. Maybe it was the nickname that he had for all my little baby brothers. You know, he liked to call them Zeal. It was his little affectionate term for them. You know, is there some food that people eat called veal? How can little babies be confused for a food anyway? Little dead babies? Mothers can't be eating them on Mother's Day, can they? I mean, you know, these are really confusing times, though, right? I mean, if moms are out there eating babies themselves, how confused are they when feeding their own children? The Yale Rudd Center did a study on so-called fast food, or as I like to call them, slashed foods, you know, from the axes of evil, McDevil's, Burger King, Wendy's, Kills Jr., Jack the Ripper in a Box, KFC, Killing for Cash. But anyway, what are the facts as presented by this new Yale Rudd Center study? Mom, are you listening? The first two sentences, quote, "The research is clear," period, end of sentence. "Eating fast food harms young people's health," period, end quote. So, Mom, did you hear that? Mom, I don't know if you're out cooking in the back or you're getting ready to go out for brunch or dinner or whatever, you know, but Yale Rudd Center, quote, "The research is clear. Eating fast food harms young people's health." So, and according to this study, every day moms take one-third of all American children, and adolescents, for foods that harm their health. Every day, a third of American children and adolescents go on a little field trip with mommy for foods that harm their health. About 17% of the calories, the caloric intake for these children and adolescents is from fast foods. So, okay, 84% of parents in the Yale Rudd Center study reported taking their children to a fast food restaurant in the past week. 84% took their children for food harmful to their health. 66% went to McDonald's. 47% of the parents took their children to McDonald's because they said their children liked it. 40% of parents reported that their children asked to go to McDonald's at least once a week, and 15% of preschoolers asked to go to McDonald's every day. Is that amazing? Huh? Are there McDonald's commercials in the womb? You know, this ultrasound is sponsored by McDonald's, huh? Only 12 of 3,039 possible kids' meal combinations met nutritional criteria for preschoolers, and only 15 of 3,039 possible kids' meal combinations met nutritional criteria for older children. But the kids want to go, right? There's a playground. There are toys, huh? Well, there are also cardiologists and oncologists and dialysis machines in your children's future, huh? So, I mean, this is pretty amazing, right? The terrorist messages don't come from bin Laden or Al-Qaeda. The terrorist messages come from your terror vision set, from America's number one terrorist, Ronald McDonald, targeting your children with what harms their health. It's clear. Yale says it. It harms their health. The research is clear. When you take your children for fast food, you harm their health. Johnny, Susie, get in the car. It's time to go. Harm your health now. Why? Well, because you want to, right? That's okay. Why? Well, can you blame them with the terrorist propaganda from Ronald McDonald and his axes of evil who are relentless aiming their propaganda at, or improper propaganda at your child, you know? For example, in 2009, the slash food industry spent $4.2 billion in advertising. That year, the average 2 to 5 year old saw 2.8 TV commercials for fast food every day. The average 6 to 11 year old saw 3.5 ads for slash food every day. And the average 12 to 17 year old saw almost 5 ads every day. Now, if I were a parent of a young child and I heard a report from Yale that starts off by saying, the research is clear, eating fast food harms young people's health, and quote, I would say to myself, well, even if I were in the 84% of parents who took my kids to a slash food joint in the last week, I would have to say to myself, I want to be a responsible parent. If I take my children to a fast food restaurant knowing it hurts their health, I would feel like I'm engaging in child abuse, right? You know, but who knew, right? Who would suspect, you know, the innocent Ronald McDonald? Who would suspect him? A clown, a playground, toys, you know? But now it's time to recognize what a threat Ronald McDonald is. It's time to retire him. It's time for McDonald's to fire him. And stop targeting your children, you know? I mean, he's a big reason why we have such a sick society. And just one more thought from the, you are what you eat metaphor becomes reality as usual, as I like to do over the years. Well, because, you know, we eat violence, we eat terror, we eat disease, and when we eat animals and animal products, and all of those are rampant in our society. So should the magnitude of rape in the military really be such a surprise considering our diet? And you did hear that 1 in 3 women serving in the military is raped. There are 3 rapes happening every hour in the U.S. military, 70 per day. 26,000 service members were sexually assaulted in 2012. And the director of the U.S. Air Force Sexual Assault Prevention Program, Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Kaczynski, was arrested on May 6th for what else? Sexual assaults. So be prepared for that. And maybe you'd like to help us. We have to purchase airtime. We have to buy airtime to be on the radio and to be the vegan animal liberation meaty infiltration that we are. Costs money. We have to buy airtime. There are production costs. You can help with a donation. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414. San Francisco, California, 94147. Or you can find the donate button where you'll also find hundreds of free archives to which you can listen at goveganradio.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. And yeah, since my social life is messed up, why wouldn't my social media life be messed up too, right? So normally someone in my position would have a fan page, but that seems too egomaniacal. So I have 2 Bob Linden pages that both seem to be maxed out at about 5,000 each, but every day somebody gets upset with me for criticizing the Humane Society of the United States or some other weird reason to be upset with me. I mean, yes, I'm for humane slaughter. That means you can shoot an animal with a bullet in the head. That's how you desensitize the animal to pain. So that's part of humane slaughter. Yes, a bullet to the head. So occasionally you can get in on one of the Bob Linden pages. There's the Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden fan page, but I, of course, messed up and have two of those and have to consolidate them. Just try to get onto a Bob Linden page or a Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden page or Twitter, you know, follow at Go Vegan Radio. And yes, so my social media life or socialist media life is as messed up as my regular social life. What, you know, you are what you eat. So we continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And today, for Mother's Day, well, here's a mother who's vegan, who wrote a book, The Perfect Formula Diet, Janice Stanger. She has her PhD in human development and aging from the University of California, San Francisco. She is certified in plant-based nutrition through the T. Colin Campbell Foundation and Cornell University, or E. Cornell University, and an MBA from the University of California at Berkeley. Janice also is the author of the survey report Vegan from the Inside, the first of its kind survey of the experience of being on a plant-based diet. And welcome back to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. How are you, Dr. Stanger?
Great. Really enjoying Mother's Day here.
Good. Yeah. So, and you are a vegan mother with vegan daughters.
Yes, I am. I'm very, very lucky, very blessed.
Mm-hmm. Right. And how are you vegan, and how was it contagious in the family that way?
Well, actually, it went from the kids to me. They started when they were 11 and 13 just saying they weren't going to eat meat anymore and went vegetarian. And I fought them for a year, and then I became vegetarian. But meanwhile, it kind of set me off on doing all the research that I've been doing. That was in 1995, and I've been doing research on plant-based nutrition ever since. Based on what I learned, I went vegan in 2000, and they immediately became vegan right after I did.
Mm-hmm. So what research, how much research went into the perfect formula diet?
Well, I researched over 1,000 published studies, medical journals, medical textbooks, nutrition textbooks, and so on. And since then, it's expanded to well over 3,000. And in terms of the expansion and the research, it's usually on my blog, on my site, perfectformuladiet.com. I write about it on the blogs, usually about plant-based nutrition and all the health reasons to go vegan.
Mm-hmm. And, well, give us some of the highlights. You know, I mean, people listening right now, apparently, you know, 84% of the parents listening right now took their children to a fast food restaurant last week. So we have a lot of work to do and a lot of information to disseminate, and here you are looking at 3,000 studies. What would you say some of the highlights are, and what would make one go vegan from the 3,000 studies you've been absorbing?
Well, in terms of kids, I think the main issue I had with my kids when they stopped eating meat, and I was very, very concerned about them because we'd always been heavy meat eaters, was that they were getting enough protein. And that's what I was really obsessing about at the time they stopped eating meat and why I started doing the research in the first place, because I really wanted to learn more about protein so I could make sure they got enough of it until I was sure they would start eating meat again at some point. And I just kind of wanted to make sure they survived that long. Mm-hmm. So I found out a lot of very interesting things about protein and kids and protein. And, you know, it's hard to even know where to begin. I mean, first off, parents worry about growth. But one thing T. Colin Campbell learned in the China study is that, you know, in areas of the world like areas of China where kids are not growing, it had nothing to do with lack of protein, nothing at all. It had to do with the fact that they were very poor, they didn't have enough to eat, there were a lot of infectious diseases, a lot of the kids had parasites. And so, you know, based on all these public health challenges, the kids' growth was stunted, but it had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with protein. And in fact, if, you know, they were relatively healthy and had enough to eat, the plant protein was as good or better than animal protein in terms of getting kids to their maximum height and growth, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many vegans are suffering from protein deficiency disease? Are the hospitals full of you know, very, very, you know, people wasting away, crawling around, yelling, protein, protein. Like, how much protein deficiency disease is... It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. And, yes, so Go Vegan TV with Bob Linden will resume the first week of June. That's the week that we start syndication with GCN, Genesis Communications Network, which does have 800 radio station affiliates, the fastest growing talk radio network in the world. And we are told we are the first food show on GCN, which is surprising. I didn't know we were a food show. Maybe so. I thought this, you know, like Seinfeld was the show about nothing. This is the show about everything, including food. Oh, I just wanted to let you know that, unfortunately, it is back. The Egg Products Inspection Act amendments of 2013, this horrible rotten egg bill reintroduced by Dianne Not-So-Feinstein, who is no friend to animals. She's the author of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, and now... she's introduced, this, S820, and it's HR 1731, which is just horrible for chickens. And once again, we can't possibly understand why the Humane Society of the United States would partner with United Egg Producers on something so terrible for chickens that it's a total reversal of HSUS policy. But there you have it, and we'll be exploring S820 and HR 1731, the Rotten Egg Bill, the Egg Products Inspection Act amendments of 2013, in the weeks ahead. Scathing rebuttal of it from Karen Davis of United Poultry Concerns. Also, I suggest you visit StopTheRottenEggBill.org. StopTheRottenEggBill.org. Okay. So, it is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Listener supported. You're listening. Please support us with a tax-deductible donation. We need your help to pay for airtime, as we've done for 12 years now, broadcasting for 12 years, as heard on Air America and CBS and Clear Channel radio stations. We infiltrate the mainstream media with a voice of compassion for animals. And happy Mother's Day. Today we're talking to a happy mother. She's happy because she's vegan and her daughters are vegan. She's the author of The Perfect Formula Diet. And Janice Stanger, PhD. We were discussing, you know, we would like parents to consider, moms to consider taking the family vegan for health reasons and all. And we discussed protein extensively before the break. But, you know, the next question from mom would be, what about calcium?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the second question about kids, and as well as the mom herself, who might be worried about her own bones and whether she's going to develop osteoporosis. And, again, there's just layers and layers and layers of mess here, Bob. It's just so amazing. It's hard to even know where to start.
I know.
Why don't we start with the calcium, since that's what most people focus on. Okay, so calcium is a mineral. And what a mineral means is the thing is not alive and it never was alive. It's part of a rock. And so, you know, unlike something like protein, which is part of something that was alive, calcium is just part of a rock. And the way it gets into us is the rock dissolves, either, you know, a stream runs past it or rain gets on or whatever, dissolves the calcium out of the rock, gets into the soil, and then the roots of the soil pick up this dissolved calcium. Now, why would the plants want to do that? It's because calcium is absolutely essential to the metabolism of plants, just like it's essential to our metabolism. Calcium is a very active part of the metabolism of us and of all other animals. It's not just part of our bones. It's in our blood. It's throughout our body. So the plant picks up this dissolved calcium. It becomes incorporated in the plant. And then the animal eats the plant, and it gets the calcium. The animal's not going to eat the rock to get the calcium, right? The animal's going to eat the plant to get the calcium. So when you think about it, you know, people always say, well, I eat dairy to get my calcium. So then you have to ask, yeah, there is a lot of calcium in milk. Where did the calcium come into the milk? And the answer is it's from the plants that the cow ate. Because, you know, I think a lot of people just never really thought this through, but when you think it through, it's pretty obvious that the cow couldn't make that calcium. The cow can't make the calcium any more than she could make iron or silver or gold or platinum or any other mineral. So, you know, if you want to get your calcium, it's like any of your protein, go right to the source. The source is the plants.
So basically people think that cows and animals make protein. That's why they need to have animal protein. And cows and other animals make calcium. So that's why they have to eat the cows and other animals for calcium. And nothing could be further from the truth.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, plants are the original source. What I always like to say, Bob, is plants are the base of the food chain on planet Earth. And what that means is plants are nutrient producers. Animals are nutrient consumers. Animals eat plants. You notice it's really not the other way around, except for maybe Venus flytraps. Basically, the plants just grow there. They're perfectly happy. They make their own food. They get their own minerals. They're pretty self-sufficient. And the animals come along and they eat the plants to survive, and that's the way nature made it. And then there's certain animals called carnivores, like tigers or lions, that eat other animals, and therefore they get all the nutrients that were in the plants indirectly by eating the animals that ate the plants. But basically, the plants are the source of all these nutrients.
Mm-hmm. And those carnivorous animals eat the stomach contents of the herbivores also. So, I mean, so they are
Absolutely.
Getting plant content themselves as opposed to just, you know, muscle and hair. This is 84% of the parents listening now probably took their children to a slash food or fast food restaurant last week and created this process that we're hearing, the very unhealthy protein. We have maybe a minute or two before the break, Janice. We're talking to Dr. Janice Stanger, author of The Perfect Formula Diet. After the break, you know, parents probably, you know, they've been concerned about hearing about protein. They probably want to hear a little bit about calcium because that's what we hear about, you know, we hear, you know, the concerns about calcium too. So we'll talk about that a little after the break. But, so the consequences though of protein, I mean, so animal protein is carcinogenic, right? I mean, that's what I'm seeing from the China study that the dairy protein is the number one carcinogen to which Americans are exposed.
Well, see, Colin Campbell found that when he was doing, his kind of basic research, he found that, you know, animal protein is casein from milk was very, very carcinogenic. And he also found when he did the China study and he looked at, you know, where people got more cancer, basically they got it where they were eating more animal foods. So there was a very strong correlation there. So he found it both kind of in reality when he went into the field and he found it in the lab. So it's pretty consistent.
Through the China study, I mean, we all thought that, oh, how do you get your protein? And we were concerned about that. But now when people ask me that, I ask them how they avoid their animal protein because, as it turns out, surprisingly, animal protein seems to be deadly.
Mm-hmm. So you have to disassemble it and then you rebuild it into your protein, the amino acids into your protein. In the meantime, if you're eating too much, which most Americans eat way too much, you then have to get rid of the protein, right? Because your body can't store these amino acids. Your body has no way of storing extra amino acids other than a very small pool, which is probably already stuffed full, and it just can't get one more little molecule into it. So what it does, and this is why it's harmful, is then these extra amino acids go to your liver. Your liver takes it apart. Your liver takes the molecule apart, takes part of the molecule, and it turns it either into fat or sugar. So people don't realize this, but protein then becomes either fat or sugar. And then the other part that doesn't go into the fat or sugar then becomes ammonia. It's actually a nitrogen molecule, and it becomes ammonia. And the ammonia is flooding your liver. Obviously, that would be highly toxic, so your body converts it into urea, which then becomes urine in your kidneys and is excreted. So in this process of getting rid of this extra protein, you're harming your liver and you're harming your kidneys. And that's why, you know, most people know this, that if you have either liver disease or kidney disease, you have to be on a very low protein diet. But in the meantime, if you're on kind of the standard American diet, you're actually harming your liver and kidneys and predisposing yourself to these diseases. Absolutely. And they have very different physiology than we do.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. For example, animals that are truly carnivorous can make their own vitamin C because they're not eating plants, which have vitamin C, whereas humans, of course, need to eat plants to get vitamin C. When you look at the nutritional requirements of humans versus true carnivores, it's very obvious that humans are meant to be plant eaters.
Mm-hmm. So then, regarding calcium, though, I mean, we should go directly to the plant source, but people think, well, cows do have lots of calcium. Aren't they then getting their nutritious calcium if they have a cow then instead of the plants?
Well, you could conceivably get your calcium either from dairy foods or from supplements instead of plants, but it's really not very wise to do either one because then you're getting very concentrated calcium. And the problem with concentrated calcium is you're getting too much. So most people get way more calcium than they need. First off, if you're not eating animal protein, you don't need that much calcium because you're not going to be excreting it. When you eat animal protein, as you probably have had other guests tell you, you know, it makes your body more acidic, and to balance the acidity, your body will excrete some calcium. So you probably only need about 500 milligrams of calcium a day on a plant-based diet, and you're going to get that from any, you know, well-rounded whole plant food diet. But the other thing is the excess calcium, again, your body has to get rid of it. You know, you eat more calcium than you need, your body is not going to necessarily store it in your bones, especially if your bones are deteriorating, which, by the way, happens through inflammation. It has nothing to do with calcium. So it has to get rid of this calcium. So it's going to try to get rid of some through your kidneys, which is going to lead possibly to kidney stones, which are very painful. Some will also be laid down on the interior of your arteries because the average person has about 70,000 miles of blood vessels in their body. And, you know, and when people eat animal foods, the inside of those blood vessels get coated with plaque. Well, a lot of times the plaque is also gets infiltrated by excess calcium that your body's trying to get rid of. And then the blood vessels become what's called calcified, which means they're very stiff and flexible, where your blood vessels are actually supposed to be very flexible so they can kind of like get wider and narrower as your heart beats. But when they are full of calcium, they're very inflexible and brittle.
Janice, we have to take another break now. Stay with me for another couple of minutes. I want to talk to you about the some of the fun foods that parents can to which parents can switch. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Please support the program. You can find that donate button at goveganradio.com along with hundreds of other archive programs. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Today we're talking to Janice Stanger, PhD, author of The Perfect Formula Diet. Mom, you know you want to go vegan after hearing all of this today. And you certainly don't want to eat veal or foie gras. By the way, this is 84% of the parents listening now probably took their children to a slash food or fast food restaurant last week. And created this process that we're hearing, the very unhealthy protein. We have maybe a minute or two before the break, Janice. We're talking to Dr. Janice Stanger, author of The Perfect Formula Diet. After the break, you know, parents probably, you know, they've been concerned about hearing about protein. They probably want to hear a little bit about calcium because that's what we hear about, you know, we hear, you know, the concerns about calcium too. So we'll talk about that a little after the break. But, so the consequences though of protein, I mean, so animal protein is carcinogenic, right? I mean, that's what I'm seeing from the China study that the dairy protein is the number one carcinogen to which Americans are exposed. The ABCI team in San Francisco found that some Bay Area restaurants are illegally still serving foie gras, like La Folie, one of San Francisco's top restaurants, and also Le Toque in Napa, both identified
for their criminal activity. Mom, no foie gras, no veal, go vegan. Janice, we have maybe a couple of minutes left because we have a baseball game coming on early today. So could you give Mom some advice on how to switch over from those unhappy meals and, you know, what they're getting at the slash food restaurant and help them transition a bit to fun, healthier foods?
Absolutely. You know, it's a myth that kids don't like healthy food. When we give kids healthy foods, fruits and vegetables, whole grains and things, and make it fun for them, they enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So you have to disassemble it, and then you rebuild it into your protein, the amino acids into your protein. In the meantime, if you're eating too much, which most Americans eat way too much, you then have to get rid of the protein, right? Because your body can't store these amino acids. Your body has no way of storing extra amino acids other than a very small pool, which is probably already stuffed full, and it just can't get one more little molecule into it. So what it does, and this is why it's harmful, is then these extra amino acids go to your liver. Your liver takes it apart. Your liver takes the molecule apart, takes part of the molecule, and it turns it either into fat or sugar. So people don't realize this, but protein then becomes either fat or sugar. And then the other part that doesn't go into the fat or sugar then becomes ammonia. It's actually a nitrogen molecule, and it becomes ammonia. And the ammonia is flooding your liver. Obviously, that would be highly toxic, so your body converts it into urea, which then becomes urine in your kidneys and is excreted. So in this process of getting rid of this extra protein, you're harming your liver and you're harming your kidneys, and that's why, you know, most people know this, that if you have either liver disease or kidney disease, you have to be on a very low-protein diet. But in the meantime, if you're on kind of the standard American diet, you're actually harming your liver and kidneys and predisposing yourself to these diseases. And the keys to moms who are listening is you have to make it fun for your kids. Involve them. Let them help you shop for the foods. Let them help you plan the menu. You know, even if it's a little bit off or it seems a little weird to you or something, that's okay, because the important thing is to expand their taste, give them a little background on the food, tell them, you know, a little bit of the history of the food, and maybe the Native Americans grew corn, or, you know, whatever the food is, find a little bit about it. This is what's been proven again and again, is when you involve the kids, let them help you cook it, slice it, pick it out, everything like that, it becomes fun for them. Let them play with their food a little bit, encouraging.
Grow a garden with the kids. That's, you know, then really take it from seed to plate.
Yeah, absolutely. A garden is wonderful. You know, and give them a lot of different kinds of dried and sliced fruit and make them make little shapes from it. You know, they can make little animal shapes or flower shapes out of it, or faces or whatever they want out of their raisins and cranberries and apple slices or whatever, and then they can eat it. You know, whatever's fun for them, make a game out of it. You know, there's absolutely no reason that the kids have to go to McDonald's to have fun with eating. You know, they can, you know, you can explain to your kids that this food really is not healthy, and we're going to do something else instead. We're going to make dinner as a family, and for dessert, they're going to make little smiley faces with, you know, raisins and pears or, you know, whatever fruit you have. And,
sounds,
you know,
great.
They'll have fun. Really happy.
Okay, so, Janice, so we're out of time. Tell people your website, how they may get in touch with you. Janice Stanger, author of The Perfect Formula Diet.
Absolutely. Please visit me at perfectformuladiet.com.
Okay, thanks so much for being with us today. Happy Mother's Day. Make it a happy day for Go Vegan Radio. Donate now at goveganradio.com.